Do you struggle with music theory or find yourself lost when it comes to chord progressions and key signatures? Introducing the Decoder, Circle of Fifths by Noisy Clan. This innovative tool is designed to help musicians of all levels navigate through music theory, making it a breeze to master exposition, transposition, and composition. So don't wait any longer. Visit NoisyClan.com and start mastering the Circle of Fifths like a pro. It all starts with passion. Creativity is power. Artistic. Hello and welcome to the Artistic Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie Sound, and today I have a special guest with me. His name is Grant Boyer. He is a musician out of... Right now, where do you live, actually, Grant?
Alliston, Ontario.
Oh, you live in Alliston. Yeah. We were just talking, and he actually said he was from Cookstown, which is a little town just outside
basically,
of Barrie.
Basically the same thing. It's like 5 seconds away.
Amazing. So...
From Cookstown.
Absolutely. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello, I am Grant Boyer. I live in Alliston, Ontario. And I'm artistic. No, we don't do that yet.
Not yet. No, not yet. But at least we know you're artistic, right? That's why you're on the show, right?
Hey, man. It was meant to be.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let us know a little bit about yourself.
I've been playing music forever, like as long as since I was like 14. I played in a rock band for a long time called Golden Gate Graves. We were called Entropy before that, but we had to change the name because somebody else had it. And then we did all the normal stuff. We toured Canada and we put out a bunch of albums and then eventually we kind of called it quits. There wasn't any hard feelings or anything. We just were kind of done. We were all kind of done with it. We're all still really close friends and everything, but we just were done. But as we were working with that band, I was kind of starting some solo stuff and I was starting to do a lot of cover gig stuff. As the rest of the guys kind of found backup plans to realizing we weren't going to be rock stars, they all got real jobs. And I kind of lucked into just teaching music as a job, and then teaching music as well as like performing cover gigs in restaurants and bars at night. And that was kind of where I was at until a few years ago. I just started recording some stuff with a buddy of mine who's my bass player now. And it was honestly not even, it was just kind of for fun. We were making these songs. Like there was no goal or anything. It was just like these songs were coming out of me and I was putting them down. And then fast forward to now, and we've had some success with one of them with some radio play, and we've got, just we're starting to push the stuff, and now there are goals, and now we're back into just going at it and really trying to push it. So it was kind of funny. I kind of feel like in a lot of ways that's what it took, was to just kind of not really give a shit anymore, and then it kind of came through in the songs in a way where it's like, you know, like I had never had a song on the radio in the top 40 mm-hmm. ever before.
Congrats on that, man. Absolutely.
And I wasn't really trying to do that with that song. I think that's kind of how it did it in a way. It was like, you just got to stop caring in a way. Yeah, obviously, you know what I mean? It's like, you got to care, but it's like, maybe just stop.
Yeah,
putting so much pressure on it or something like that. And it's, so here we are.
What I want to add on to what you were just saying was, yeah, what it kind of what I kind of always preach to people is kind of like, don't set a limit for this stuff. This is not a limit. This is, you do this because you need to do this. So the more you do this, you're kind of projecting a person that you want out into the world. That person is going to talk to people. If it talks to people, mm-hmm. then you're going to get exactly what you've kind of experienced. You know what I mean? If you do it for 3 months, most people probably aren't going to hear. You do it for a couple of years. Yeah. You never mm-hmm. stop doing it because this is the main goal, right? This is the goal, to go and touch people and unite with them universally and like have a connection with them. So that's basically what all your hard work and all your, I'll call it like, you know, your synergy did. You know what I mean? That's exactly what you did. You put all yourself out there. You believed in something and it worked. And for all the creatives down there right now, they're like, no, this is not working. This is not working. Blah, 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 blah. I'm one of them. Proofs in the mother, truck and pudding. You know what I mean? Right there. So has music been kind of like a thing that you were grown up with? Did you start it yourself or was it like embedded into your life? Because you're now a music teacher.
Yeah, I mean, I think that like I don't really have a retirement plan.
Nice. So,
but I mean, I think you can teach music lessons until you die, basically, as long as you don't get too crotchety and stuck in your ways. As long as you keep an open mind, you can kind of, so in that regard, I've always known that I can just, that I really enjoy teaching. I really enjoy seeing people every week and being a part of young people's lives, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that I feel like that's something that will always be a part of my life in some degree. If I get to a point where I don't have to rely on it as much, then so be it. But I think there'll probably always be some degree of that, like with the teaching part of it. And I'll always be playing live as well, as for as long as I can, like whether it's
absolutely,
like whether it were, regardless of what level it's at, like I'll always be doing it because it's just, it's in my blood. It's like, it's kind of all I know how to do well.
If you've heard half of my damn podcast, that's exactly what I tell people. It's like, we don't give this up because it's kind of all we know how to do. And like, if you like, a creative can't stop, he just cannot stop. You literally get depressed. You get sick. You get anxiety. It's just in you. It's mm-hmm. something that people just can't understand. Have you been playing since like a kid? Is that what this is? Like, you know, was it like an outlet or was it just?
Yeah, I mean, I always wanted to. I loved music like more than anybody that I knew. I knew that I loved music in a way that my friends didn't. Like from a really young age. Like I remember when I was in like grade 4, the Phantom of the Opera was coming out. Like it was really okay. big at that mm-hmm. time. Like that was when it was like early 90s. The Phantom of the Opera was like this huge thing. And I had this, the soundtrack, like the double CD. And I like, I don't know, man, it, like it captivated me. Like I just loved it so much. It was like, my mom took me to go see it at like the Pantages Theater. And she was like, she's looking at me the whole time because I was singing along with everything. I think my parents might have thought I was a weirdo a little bit because they didn't know where I got that from either. I don't know. But then as I got older, it was Phantom of the Opera. Queen was, that was one of the first CDs that I got for Christmas, was Queen, like best greatest hits Queen CD. And my parents they don't play music. They don't play instruments or sing or anything, but the house was like extremely musical growing up, like music blaring all the time, like Dire Straits and Fleetwood Mac and Michael Jackson and just everything. And then as the 90s came up, my parents, they were into all that stuff as well. They didn't just stick to what they were. They didn't just stay with their generation of music, they actually would come home with like Stone Temple Pilots CDs and Collective Soul CDs. And then eventually I got them. I saw like Green Day playing on an award show. And I remember sitting on the couch and I was watching Billy Joe Armstrong do the song Basket Case. And I just looked at my sister. She's 3 years older than me. So mm-hmm. She was kind of my guide. She's like, I would get her Guns N' Roses CDs that she'd give to me, and her AC/DC CDs and Beastie Boys and all that stuff. And then I just looked at her and said, Jess, who is this? And she's like, some Green Day band, whatever.
Some Green Day band.
That was like, that day was like, I was like, that's what I want to do. But that's, I was watching him just beat his guitar. Like it was, he's spitting everywhere. Like that was like the, for me and so many people anywhere near my age, that was like the introduction to punk rock, right? Like that was everybody's introduction to punk rock. And then, and that's, it was just shortly after seeing that performance, I went out and bought that CD, and then I bought their earlier CDs, and I just, Green Day just became like my favorite band, and then Nirvana, and then all of the grunge stuff. And along the way, I eventually bought a guitar. It's like, I need to do this. Like, I just knew that I needed to be able to do what they were doing.
So Green Day is one of my favorite bands. I absolutely love Green Day. Punk music actually like did a lot for me, kind of like threw me into music, but it also made me very arrogant and I had to like step away from it for a bit. Now, I'm not talking about like pop punk. I loved pop punk and all that, Blink and Green Day and whatever, but and Offspring. But I got into like real punk. I got into like Bad Religion and like Pennywise. And if you don't be careful with that stuff will, that stuff's dangerous. But I remember one story I have, and like, this is the story that just makes me go, like, I hope people get inspired off this. Like, I just got inspired off your story with the Green Day. I was in my brother's room. My brother's 7 years older to me, and he had all these albums. He had Snoop Dogg. Yeah. He had this. All that were hidden from me because my parents did not want me to hear this stuff. You know what I mean? So I see this one album, and this album, and it's funny because I'm not even a big fan of them right now. I love them, but I'm not a huge fan of them. I see this one album, and it's Nevermind. And I'm like, okay, what is this? And I put it on, and I'm absolutely loving it. I think Breed is number 4 or 7, and I got to Breed.
Yeah, man.
And I vividly have this memory in my head. It's beautiful. I have a memory of me turning on Breed and absolutely just destroying my brother's room. Just fucking obliterating everything in this room while Breed went on, because to me it was the heaviest song on that friggin' album. And now my band covers Breed. You know what I mean? Like, so that's the whole type of thing. It's like this, the influence grows from when you're a kid, especially if you're into it. Like it's a communication. It's a universal communication is what music is.
Well, it's cool you said, like, because that's what Green Day was, the pop punk thing. And it got me, that was like the introduction. After that, it was like, I got into like Minor Threat and Lagwagon and No Effects and just all of that, and Bad Religion, and like I
love Bad Religion.
Went hard into all of that stuff too. So that was what I was getting at with Green Day, how it just introduced me to this whole world of like skate punk and hardcore, and then eventually hardcore.
Let me know some of the bands that have influenced this particular sound with Grant Boyer over the pop punk Grant Boyer.
It was Green Day, then it just got heavier and heavier, punkier and punkier, heavier and heavier, into like, then eventually I was listening to Slayer and Sepultura and just everything. Then System of a Down came around, and then it was like, now it's just like Alice in Chains. Just, it's all just freaking, if it's good, then I like it, right? But I think with Alarm Bells, as soon as I wrote that first little riff, I was like, oh, this is Weezer. Like, this is like a Weezer song. Not in a super rip-off-y way, but it's like, it just had that vibe to me. Like, I was like, this feels like a Weezer kind of vibe. And I love like again, in that Blue album in the 90s when that came out, that Weezer album was freaking Awesome. So my influences, the influence in my writing, the punk influence is huge. Like that's where like the 3 minute song, 2.5 minute song started, right? It's like just verse, chorus, bridge, done, punk, blah, scream it all out and then you're done. That's what I did as a kid writing. And then in my bands, we started listening to Tool. We started writing like 7 minute songs and 10 minute songs. We did all that stuff. But then my rock band, we started to tone it down to get closer to like 3-4 minute songs. But then when it came back to me just doing my own stuff, I went right back to, it's like the structure is like a punk song, but then what you're putting inside the structure, the template is like just all bits and pieces of everything that I've accumulated along the way.
Absolutely. And that's a great explanation as well too. That's kind of how it rolls, right? You go to what your influences are. I remember Foo Fighters had a song. I can't remember what it's called, but it was back like 2010 or 2012 or something. And everyone was ranting and raving that it sounded exactly like Holy Diver by Dio. And it does. It sounds just like Dio's song. But literally, so Dave Grohl gets on an interview and literally he's like, in the song, I literally say a line before that riff, which is basically like, you always go back to your roots. And he's like, look at music. Everything sounds the same. I actually saw some really cool meme today where I don't know if this is cool because I'm kind of like degrading Metallica, which I'm not trying to because I love Metallica. But there's this guy that has a viral meme right now, and he goes, Metallica is not original. And he picks 4 songs from Metallica. It was Sanitarium, Master of Puppets, and 2 other ones, like good, fucking hits. One was ripping off Bowie. Master of Puppets is Bowie. I couldn't fucking believe it.
Yeah, Bowie. Yeah, which it totally it is. Like it fucking is, man. Like it sounds like it is, but that shouldn't. But it also, if you ask David Bowie, he'd probably
fucking
be like,
right.
"Yeah,
yes, he would. Of course, he would." Because right? that's what we are. We're artists, and like, yeah, you do. Don't get me wrong. You need to have a signature. You need to stay signature. But they're so different that. They're so different that me and you as musicians, we didn't even freaking know until someone actually showed us. You know what I mean? Like, that's just it, right? So it's the influence. Yeah. It's how it should be.
And it's because like even that Bowie one, like it's like note for note for a lot of bars, but the feel and the vibe and everything else about it is different, right? It's like the notes are the same, but it's like, everything else is the whole feel. It's so obviously 2 different songs, right? It's just they both are falling. I don't know. I mean, I think that music is like, it's like if you invented a chord progression that was brand new that no one's ever done before, it would sound like crap.
I agree.
And that's why it's not been done before. It's music is like this ether that's like flowing, and it's just up to you to kind of pick what little pieces of what you want, and then you put them together into what you want. Nothing is 100% original. It's everything is borrowed.
I would agree. It's borrowed by your influences, and that's exactly what it is. You're influenced to, and we're not just talking about music. Yeah. You know, you can be influenced by a car. You can be influenced. That's what commercials are. You know what I mean? You're influenced to do this. So why would music be any different? And that's, you got to keep the influence up. That's just kind of what it is. It's all one main influence, and you can't hate on a person because that person influenced that person. We all did the same thing. So it's like, you know. You're right. You cannot have 100% originality. Even with Beethoven, I'm pretty sure Beethoven is a lot original, but I'm pretty sure he was like flowing with other people, or he was doing something, having a creative process.
Somebody was ripping off a bird.
There you go.
Somebody was like, heard what a bird was singing and fucking stole that. From the bird, and then the bird came. the bird can't defend himself because he's
But the bird's a piece of inspiration to us. That's what he is. That's why we love birds. And anyone that doesn't love birds, don't listen to my podcast. That's just it. Alarm Bells has a really the reason why I like it is because it brings back like nostalgia, like not nostalgia. It's basically like so. I'm gonna. We talked about this. You are a father. I am also a father of two kids. And when you become a father and you're still a musician, which happens and it should happen, whatever decision you make after that is your decision. But yeah, it's really cool because, you know, when I heard your song, I was, as musicians, you know, we let loose, we drink, we do this, we do that, we do whatever. At one point, I thought that was never going to stop. I thought that was my life. I was like, hey, I got to tone it down a bit. But like, this is okay. You know, this gives me inspiration, this and that. Now that I'm that person, different person, everything's changed. It's all the same. I'm still motivational. I'm still, you know, doing my thing. But now I don't drink.
Yeah.
And I don't do this and I don't do that. So that song, the chorus, just... I'm never drinking again. As soon as I heard that, it was like, man, I used to say that so much and I don't say that anymore. And I don't know if I miss it or if I'm like grateful that I've stepped up to a plateau. You know what I mean? How do you feel about that chorus? Like, how do you feel about that song? How is that song written basically?
So I go through different, I have different emotions about that song, which I think is accidentally how it became so relatable, because you can be on either side of, you can be partying your face off and that song is relatable, and you can also be sober and that song can be relatable. It's like you can be on either side of it. It's like, and at this point for me, I haven't had a drink in a year. It's been a year, like it'll be a year in a few days. Like, I just haven't had it. I just stopped drinking. And I actually stopped drinking the day after we shot the video for that song.
Oh, wow.
Because I was supposed to act like I was partying and drunk in that video. Okay. And I got really nervous. And I just got drunk for real in that video.
Oh.
And I was so hungover the next day. I was just like, nah, this is... So when I listen to the song, I have... Like sometimes I miss partying because there were lots of really good times and I miss that. But I don't miss that feeling of waking up hungover. Like that was like so debilitating to just be being hungover. It was like just hurt. And it would last for days. And I was just like, yeah, this sucks. And then, I'm never drinking again until the weekend. You say it till the weekend, right?
Always.
That's how it always would be, because it would be like, for me, I would drink. I used to host an open mic night on Thursdays, and then I'd be gigging. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'd be just power drinking, right?
Yeah, okay.
And then Monday, Sunday night, I'd be like, all right, calm down. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I would be hungover until Thursday. And on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'd be like, okay, yeah, like I'm not drinking again. And then Thursday would come around. It's like, of course I am. It's the weekend. And so the writing of that. So you asked how that song came about. And like, that's basically, it's just other than a couple of the things that are kind of obviously jokes, like, for the most part, it's basically autobiographical of like just the way that it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then before I came up with those words for the song, I actually was trying to make like more dark, serious words for the song. Like the first like draft of the song or whatever, it was like I was singing about something serious. And then it felt so silly because the riff is so like fun and just upbeat and happy. I was like, I can't, this is stupid. Why would I be trying to sing about a breakup or something? I can't even remember what it was that I was trying to write about, but it was something serious. And I was like, I kind of scrapped it. And as soon as I scrapped it, I was like, let's do something kind of funny. And literally I was like, my head, I thought about being hungover, and I just wrote, my head is pounding, and I woke up on the floor. And then after that first line, it was like it all just came out.
That's why I like it. It's catchy. And like the humor, like you even write about how being lighthearted and humorous is very healthy.
Yeah.
And like, that's what gives that song that whole joyful, playful, you know, I want to bop my head around and be like, this is relevant. It's relevant. It's good. It's catchy. You know what I mean? It's about something that is actually kind of depressing, but you've turned it into like a humorous, like, no, we go through this. Everyone goes through this. You just got to acknowledge, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I was just going to say like it's, I instinctually, again, back to the punk rock thing, I instinctually want to just kind of bitch and whine about everything. Like the teenager in me comes out when I write music. I want it to always be like, oh, F the world, man, blah, 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 right? But as I've matured, I would say, I realized that it's like, it's not fun to just whine all the time. And life is sad. So yeah. You might as well laugh at it. You might as well be able, like, if you can't laugh at what's happening in your life, then you got nothing. So as much as I like, I still write stuff that's a little bit angry. I write stuff that has deeper meanings and that is a little bit pissed off or whatever. I still am trying to keep some humor in there and trying to keep it as lighthearted as I can, because who wants to listen to someone just bitch and moan all the time?
No, it's too much on the radio. Like it's all over the radio. Like that song, I'm Giving Up On You. I don't even want to hear that song. There's a I'm Giving Up On You. It's a great song. I want to cut myself every time I hear it.
Yeah. It's so good. Yeah, that song is so freaking good, but it's also so freaking sad. <it's> like... Yeah. I love it though. Like I do. Like I write stuff like that, but I don't. I just think there's. I can't. You can't do. It can't all be like that, because it's like you're just gonna drive yourself. It's supposed to be an outlet to get your sadness out, and it's supposed to be, something to scream your pain and all of that. But again, the best way to get your sadness out and your pain is to laugh. That's the most effective, efficient way to like,
absolutely,
to vent, I think. For me anyway, is you just have to be able to laugh. And
well, like that saying, right? Just laugh it off.
Yeah.
There's a saying for it, you know what I mean? Just laugh it off. So that's what you should definitely do. The song went number 37 in the top 40, like you said, in Canada's active rock list. How does that make you feel as a musician? How does that make you feel as a person?
It's been a year almost. Like I got an email. We got the email from the first station that picked it up like almost a year ago. It was in May, I think. It said, hey, we're adding this song. And I thought it was a prank. Like I was like, no, you're not.
A joke, right?
No, you're not. Shut up. No. I was down here teaching lessons and I was looking at the email because that's how professional I am while I'm in a lesson. And then I said to my kid, listen, I got to go upstairs for a second. I went upstairs and said to my wife, I'm like, read this. Like, are they adding this song? She's like, babe, I think they're adding your song. I was like, I couldn't believe it. And I still can't really, I never ever expected that. Like, I know you should, like when you're trying to do things, you should like try to, what's that thing you're supposed to like, what's the secret or whatever? You're supposed to like envision good things.
The law of attraction, Yeah. Yeah, as long as you harness the energy into it, it'll come back and reward you.
I know you're supposed to be positive and and will things to come your way and stuff. That's how you're supposed to be, but it's hard for me to be that way. And so even when good things are happening, it's like, I was like, this isn't real. And then I started getting messages, like my phone started blowing up from friends and family, like, dude, you're on the radio, you're on the radio, you're on the, and it was like constant. I was like, holy shit, this is real.
I'm on the radio.
It was like, yeah. I think we were talking before we started rolling, but it's like, I've been actively writing music and trying to get the most amount of people hearing it since I was about 16, right? It's like all of those years of like pouring your heart out and pouring your heart out and complaining about relationships in your songs and whining and talking about fixing the world and years of that. And it's like in the end, what it took was one, to not really super care anymore, because I was kind of content with the life I had. So it was like to not have all of that pressure and stress behind it was, I think, a huge thing. And then two, to just freaking relax and write a funny song about being hungover. And like just write a funny song about life, like just about something simple. And it's like, stop trying to reinvent the wheel. Just sit back. And every single thing has been like, when it got into a chart, when it was on a chart at number 80 something, I was like amazed that it was even on a chart, that I was looking at it on a chart. When it went to 67, I was amazed.
Right.
When it was at 37, just amazed. Just like, it's awesome. And then the funny thing now is, now that that's happened,
amazed,
all of the like not caring, all of that stuff. Well, now I do care because I've got a taste of this. So now I care. Now I want more and I want to keep going and I want, so, which is awesome because I've been writing like mad, like more than I ever have. I've been recording. It just put a real fire under my ass. And I'm just excited. I got so much more. I got tons of new stuff on deck ready to come out. We're just waiting on, to get all the ducks in a row to release more stuff.
Wicked.
Got stuff that's like stuff that I recorded in the same session as Alarm Bells.
Right.
That isn't even like that. It's my job's done on it, but it's not even mixed and mastered yet. Like I have so much. I got tons of stuff ready to come out. So,
okay.
I don't know. I'm just excited. Just really excited. And if that one song hitting number 37 is the high point of everything, then that's amazing to me. That's like, that's awesome. 'Cause I was fine before. So
that's right. I'm so glad to hear that humbleness from you. Like that throws inspiration to me as a musician to get my band out there and be like, because I love my band's music. I know it's older sounding music, but I like, it's the only music I listen to. I know I play it and I have to learn it, but like, it's the only music I listen to right now because I love it so much. Mm-hmm. And just the humbleness on that last part was amazing. Like that's how it should be. You could be, I would be so happy even if like we were on an indie station and someone said like, these guys are know what they're doing. Like, let's hope we hear some more. I'd be like, I could quit right now. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to, but I could quit right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. So this little fire that got lit under your buttocks also helped you to release the EP under the same name. How do you feel about that? Oh, how's that doing right now on the circuit?
So that's doing well. I'm getting a lot of good feedback on. So it's basically the first three singles we did in 2022, and then there are three more. So it's a six song EP.
Okay.
And so for me, it's like three new songs. For somebody that would be just seeing the EP who hasn't heard me, then it's a six song EP, six new songs, right? But so to me, it's like the three new songs, I'm getting like almost equal feedback about all of them, which is nice. It was like the first two, like Alarm Bells and De-Evolution are like they're like the banger singles of the thing. And then, In the Meantime was the first single we released right out of the gate. And we did it kind of like, we didn't do a huge campaign on it. It was just our first one. And we were just like, we knew it's like a nice mellow song. And we just wanted to get our feet wet with it.
Right.
These other three that we've added to it, they're like three songs that are going to be when we print an album one day, when we do a vinyl album or something, like those songs will be on it. But they're not, but they probably wouldn't go out as singles, like super balls to the walls pushing this as a single, right? Like they're, I don't want to use the word filler, but it's like back in the day when you're making an album, they'd be in there somewhere, but they probably wouldn't have been like the radio singles or anything. You know what I mean? So it was, I felt a little bit apprehensive. I felt a little scared when we put out the EP that those three songs would be like, I was a little apprehensive that maybe they wouldn't be up to par with the other stuff we were doing. But since we put it out, the feedback that I've gotten, I'm very pleased and relieved to hear the feedback that we're getting on all of the songs.
Absolutely, man. So the next question is, every creative technically has a way that we start to process our creativity. It's our creative process is what it is. I want to know your creative process. I know you're a teacher and everything, so you can also tell me if you have like a process for your students. But like, is there a certain thing, like do you go in candlelight? Do you have to have a bath before you start creating? Is there something special? You know what I mean?
Yeah, incense and Epsom salts and bubbles in my bath. Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
Okay. I thought you were serious.
Honestly, so it sounds kind of, I don't know how it sounds. Stuff comes to me and then I'm like, oh, that sound, like if I have my guitar in my hand all the time because I'm teaching guitar lessons all the time.
Right.
So I'll just be dinking around as I'm talking and I'll come up with something and I'll just say to the student, 1 second, and I'll just press record on my phone and I'll record that little lick. Then I hit stop and I go back to the lesson. And then however long later, I'll look through my phone. I'll just be goofing around looking through my phone and I'll find that lick. And then if I like it, the next time around, then I'll kind of take that and I'll go with it and I'll mess with it some more. And then, and if I don't like it the second time around, I'll just delete it. You know, but I never just say I got to write a song. I never just come down here and like, I need to write. That never happens. It's always like, it feels like it all, like something comes and it's not me trying to do it. It's just like, it happens naturally. And then once something clicks, once something starts to feel good, then that expands. And then I feel the motivation. And then once I have something substantial that I'm focusing on, then I can't get that. I can't rest until that has come to fruition in some sense. Like I have to have like almost not finished the song, but almost kind of finished the song in a way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course.
And then sometimes, most of the time, it'll be like a guitar lick. But once in a while, I'll just be like singing random stuff to my kid or something. Mm-hmm. and I'll come up with like a vocal melody that sounds nice. Once in a while, something will start with that, like a vocal melody or something. But for the most part, it's usually a guitar riff. And again, like, I've been very fortunate so far that I haven't had like any deadlines or anything. I haven't been like, oh, you need to put out this much material in this time or anything. Like, I haven't had to do that. So I've never felt that pressure to have to, like, you know, like create massive amounts of material or anything like that. I just kind of let it come to me. Does that make sense?
Awesome. Absolutely. Definitely. Your creativity doesn't have to make sense as long as it's made. That's just it.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to make sense. Usually it doesn't make sense. Usually you'll be doing something really stupid and a song comes out of it. Usually you'll be thinking something really stupid and a song comes out of it. Usually proactively, but a song comes out of it. You know what I mean? It was really cool that you said, you know, usually you'll be singing a song or like humming a melody to your kid or whatever. I read that's how As We Wait was created, the song.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Big time. And
can we
like,
hear about that story funny. Or
what's that?
Can we hear a bit about that? Like,
so she was like, she was in her high chair, and I was like, I was kind of playing like peekaboo with her, and I was trying to get her to eat, and I just started singing like. I was like, I do really goofy stuff with, like, I was a goofball before I had kids, man. Like, I would do that shit to my wife. Like, my wife, it's amazing that we were even able to conceive, to have children. It's amazing she's even attracted to me with how goofball I am. Like, how just, I'm always just acting like an idiot. So, I'm, like, dancing around the kitchen, and I started doing like da 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 da, and I was like singing like an opera singer, like to my and making my daughter laugh, and then I did like the signature thing where it was like, I know we were just having a moment there, honey, but now I have to ignore you for 5 minutes while I go find my guitar and record this into the phone, like. And just completely stop the father-daughter fun, amazing moment that we just had because I have to go
and record,
cultivate this moment, to cultivate a song out of this moment we had. But and then so that first melody, that's how that came about, was just goofing around with her, and then it was like she was still eating and I still, so now I have the guitar. And then I started, I think those first words, I wrote those first words too while we were there, like tiny thoughts unwinding knots. And there was just like, those words sound good together. They rhyme, like tiny thoughts unwinding knots. And I was like, there's no, at the time, and that was two words, there was no like meaning yet to that. But a lot of time, sometimes when I write words, that's a thing too. It's like, it's about how it sounds phonetically and how the words work together before, almost before what they mean comes into it. It's like how they feel and sound together. Right. And sometimes you know what you want to say, but the words you want to say don't feel right and they don't sound right. So you have to like find different ways to say what you mean, to make them rhyme properly and to make them like flow. I remember the first couple of actual lyrics I wrote at the same time. And then eventually she's just looking at me like, dude, we were playing a second ago. Like, now I got crap dinner all over me and I'm done. I'm all done. Like, let's put the guitar down and let's go play Paw Patrol. You know,
Paw Patrol.
Yeah.
One thing I can't do is, so when she was first, when my daughter was first born, I was still playing bass all the time, and she would like always stare at me. Then when she started to walk, I'm telling you, I cannot play my bass without her trying to grab this bass. I literally have to take the bass off, lay it down with her and just let her on it. And you know what? It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. So
I agree, man. I know what you mean. I know. I remember once, it's like watching them and when it's plugged in and they like, their eyes light up when they make the boom. Like, it's like, yeah, it's something else.
Yeah.
It's such a
cool
thing.
You have to see it to see it.
My wife said that to me when I showed her a video once of like that exact. I had my electric guitar plugged in and I had her doing the exact same thing. Like just, and she was just like, what a lucky kid.
Yeah.
Like most kids don't grow up with like an electric guitar or an instrument like that around.
Yeah, I didn't.
It's pretty cool. Funny. Like I hope that they don't take it for granted. Like in a way where they just don't even care to do it at all. Like, I don't necessarily hope that they like pursue music, but I hope that they like pursue it as a career or anything. Like, I want them to do whatever they want, but I hope that they don't think it's lame because their dad does it.
Absolutely. Well, you know, they could, everything's creative. You could be a ballet artist and you could be creative, right? As long as they're doing something creative, as long as they're not in front of that damn TV all the time.
Yeah.
Right now, it's okay. They're kids. Yeah. Let them be in front of the TV. But no. My next question for you is, are there any local Canadian bands that have inspired you or that you think our listeners need to know about right now? Are there any acts that you've played with and you've been like, oh my God, why are you guys not known more?
Shoot. We just did a show when we just played the Bovine with Bloody Monroe, and which is like a two piece thing, which not by choice. If they need a bass player actually, but they freaking fill the sound, man. The guitar player, he does it like he played like they don't have a bass player, but he does it like it's like
right.
Even when he's soloing, it's like it's still. It's really good. So Bloody Monroe was they kind of blew me away. And then there was also this like really you know, like Joy Division.
Yes.
Like that
yes.
Kind of like whatever that style is, I've never really got into it, but it's like really electronic and like they were called Give My Remains to Broadway. They were
oh,
really
wow,
cool,
cool
too.
It's they like were really cool, yeah.
And their stage presence was like there's like three of them. There's no drummer. There's a guy with a drum pad and the guy in the middle singing and then the guy on the left with the laptop running the tracks.
Whoa.
And stuff. And the drum That's guy wicked. And the drum pad just like it's like their whole thing was like, let's try to be as not into this as possible. Their stage show was no stage show. It was freaking cool. It was and their music is cool. So those two bands really, I really had a blast watching them do their thing live. And then another one that I will say is actually, so the band, so the guy that produced a lot of these guys' stuff is my producer, and that is called Falsett. I don't know if you ever heard of Falsett.
I think I've heard of that. I have.
Look them up. They're like,
yeah, well,
they're like, it's like heavy, really heavy, but it's really like electronic influenced and really, I don't know, man. Again, like, someone you'd be able to describe it probably. There's probably an actual genre for it. It's like not that hard to describe, but to me it's just like look kind of new metal-y.
Yeah,
with
okay.
Like
metal.
I don't know, really nice hooks, really nice vocals, really heavy breakdowns.
Okay. It sounds with electronic, it sounds like kind of like a metalcore fusion. It might be a metalcore type fusion. Or something like that.
Yeah.
That sounds cool. I feel like I've heard the name before, so I'm definitely going to go check them out because that just definitely like turned a light bulb on in my head. So absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Their drummer's name is Chance LaBrie and his dad is the singer for, Dream Theater.
Wow.
So Yeah, they live like, well, I'm not gonna say where they live,
Yeah, of course not. No.
but Chance actually drummed on. He's in the video. Chance is in the video for Alarm Bells,
Oh,
and
okay.
he drummed on a bunch of my stuff.
Awesome. Wicked. Cool. I'd love to meet this guy. Absolutely. Next question I got for you is, well, my last question, actually. I do think that this is probably one of the most important questions. What piece of advice can you give to the younger generation aspiring in your footsteps? What's the one most important piece, crucial piece of advice that you could give to them?
It's like, don't just focus on, you got to focus on everything, man. Like every part of the puzzle. It's not just about being good at making songs. It's not just about being good at performing the songs. It's like so much more than that. And that's like the, again, that's like the when I was playing with my band for all those years, we were really good. We were really good. We wrote really good songs. We recorded a bunch. We did so much cool stuff. But none of us really had any clue about the business end of anything or the promotional end of anything. And it was like we just kind of blindly were making music. And going out and playing shows and just kind of waiting for like some like label A&R guy to come and like find us and make us big. And it's like even when we were doing that, those days were long gone. But now, especially those days are way long gone. So it's like just make sure that you're researching and learning about all of the. Yeah, but you know, I said it already. I was about to repeat it, but just there's way more to it than just being good at writing the music and just being good at performing it. There's so much more. And I haven't really learned any of it. I just have a manager who is my really good friend who is he's I've that's the thing. Either learn all that shit or get someone really close to you that has learned all of it who will be on your team.
Absolutely. That's great advice, man.
Or just like somehow fluke out and just blow up on TikTok, and then you can just. I'm just kidding. I don't.
No, yeah. I don't believe that. I'm sorry. TikTok, all those guys are gonna die of fame. They're like not die of fame, but their fame's gonna die very quick. They've already died quick. You have to keep going. You have to keep going. You have to put something new. TikTok's one little thing that's gonna eventually be replaced by something else. So I hate TikTok. Anyways, awesome. So those are my questions. I want to play two games with you.
Okay.
Two games. Two fun games. I really hope you find them fun. One's fun. One's kind of not really a game. It's just my excuse to make it sound fun. So it's called the plug out game. I just want you to plug out yourself, and I want you to tell everyone where we can find your music, find your socials, find out the next things, your website, all of that.
Okay. I should be a lot better at this than I'm about to be at this.
Okay.
You can go to my website at grantboyer.ca. That leads to all of the other stuff, like all the Instagram, and
Okay.
I can't even remember what my Instagram tag is, to be honest. If you just type Grant Boyer into Instagram, I'll be there. And Facebook
Absolutely. And you'll see his face. Don't worry.
TikTok and YouTube, all that stuff. And then all of my music is on all of the streaming platforms. And we're doing a festival called the Butter Tart Festival in Midland on June 10th, where I think we'll be opening for somebody kind of big, I think. And then August 12th, we're doing something. A local thing in Alliston at the movie theater here, which I'm actually really excited about that. It's during the weekend that Alliston does this thing called the Potato Festival, which sounds really
Ah,
rinky-dink.
cool.
It sounds kind of hokey, but which it is. It's a small town, but But it's like it's actually huge. Like it's a huge. You know, if all small towns have like a butter tart festival,
that little festival,
carrot festival, and a freaking, well, ours is potato festival. And so we're all, so we're doing that. But that's going to be a really cool rock show, man. In this really nice theater, and that's August 12th, and then. Yeah, we got some other stuff, but it's all pending, so I can't really talk about it because I don't know if it's going to actually happen yet. And then, like, just please just go like all my stuff and put the green hearts on it and all of that nonsense. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's not nonsense.
You
do this for a reason, you know what I mean?
Right.
You do this for a reason. And like I'm gonna say, man, your music's very inspirational. Like your music brings back a lot of feelings towards me, and like it really when I listen to it, it really brought a lot of motivation to me. So I'm sure that a lot of people will actually feel the same way too. I'll make sure to have all of your Insta and like all that Facebook stuff like written out under my description so people can actually, you know, make sure they get the right spelling and everything and find the right Grant Boyer, because I'm sure there's a couple of more Grant Boyers out there.
Oh, I'm the only one.
You are, really?
No, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Oh, I was going to say, because I thought I was the only Stephen Ciparoni. How the hell is there another Stephen Ciparoni?
Right?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like, my last name's not even friggin' popular. So the last game I want to play with you is called the Playlist Game. Mm-hmm. This game, we basically go into your playlist and you shuffle two or three songs. I think we'll get through two or three. And you basically tell me why it's on there, what it means to you, why you like it, and we basically paint a picture of the artist that you are via your music. So I'm getting intrusive. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
You're gonna shuffle it. The first song that comes up, you're gonna tell me the name. I'm gonna type it into my YouTube. We're gonna play it, and then we're gonna talk about it. All right. So the first song is Superstition by Stevie Wonder. Now this is beautiful because all the times I've played this game, they've been ones that like people wouldn't really know, but everyone needs to know this damn song. You know what I mean? Everyone knows this damn song. So I'm really glad we get to play it right now. Let's just load it up. I don't need to play that for that long. Everyone knows Superstition. That is one of the greatest songs ever written. What does it mean to you? Why is it on there? Why did you put it on there? How does it motivate you?
So I found like later, after having children, my mom told me that the song Isn't She Lovely by Stevie Wonder, which is a song just about a baby girl, was like, they said when my sister was born, they played that song over and over and over again. And it made me want to play that song when my daughter was born. And so because I was playing that Stevie Wonder song, it reminded me of all these other like freaking banger Stevie Wonder songs, like Superstition. And I was like, holy jeez. So in the end, I ended up adding Superstition to this playlist, and because it's like when you're just like when you gotta like clean the house or something, it's like I love putting on metal to clean the house, putting on Hatebreed, on like freaking Strife or something. But also, man, sometimes you gotta just put that funk on,
fucking right,
and just dance around like an idiot.
I get right,
just dance around like a stupid idiot. And like the whitest of dumb idiots dancing around. And that's what that is to me. It's like, it's just so much fun. It's like, how can you possibly feel sad or depressed or anything when you have that song going on. Like, it's just so good.
I totally agree, man. Higher Ground does that for me too, from Stevie Wonder. I'll put Higher Ground on and I will clean that whole damn house. Let's do number two.
So the second one is, it's Feeling Whitney by Post Malone.
Huh, okay. I don't like Post Malone. I will tell you this. I do not like him at all. I liked him when Feeling Whitney. Post Malone.
Yeah. It's just him with an acoustic guitar.
Okay. That might be a little different.
It's just him with an acoustic guitar doing like a little Travis Picky thing on the guitar.
Okay. Well, let's hear it. We're going to hear it now.
He did a thing during COVID that they covered. They did a Nirvana show and they did it really well. Like, he was nailing Nirvana, playing guitar. Post Malone was playing guitar and screaming Kurt Cobain lyrics.
Okay.
Like, he's awesome. Yeah, dude. He kind of won me over.
I can't even leave my bedroom, so I keep pouring. And I ain't seen no light of day since. Well, that's not important.
Oh, it's a nice melody, right? It's like a finger pick.
And I was feeling Whitney, me and my homie sipped Houston. Cars and clothes thought I was winning, you knew I was losing. You told me to wake up, but my clock always stays on snoozing. I'm done.
Yeah, it's freaking beautiful, man.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, that gave me goosebumps. That definitely changed my mind on Post Malone a little bit. Absolutely. He keeps doing that. He has a new fan. Absolutely. Holy crap. So what do you like about that song?
I love like finger picking guitar, like Travis picking guitar. I love the tone of his voice, like the effect on it. There's like a nice little reverb or something on it that just kind of sounds really warm. And I don't know, man, I think with Post Malone, it's like I said, like, I don't love probably the majority of his music. I probably don't love it. But when I saw him do that Nirvana stuff, and then I've seen him in like podcasts and interviews, and he just seems like a funny, fun guy. And it made me like him, like as a person, kind of, as I could imagine. I don't know who he is as a real person, but.
Right.
And then so a student asked me to teach him this song, and that's how I heard it.
Okay.
And I kind of just fell in love with it, man. I love the finger picking, and I love that he can do that. I love finding out that a pop star is way more freaking talented than I thought they were. I love that.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, man. That gave me really big Donovan and like Dylan vibes. And the thing about Donovan and Dylan was that was the first music that I definitely fell in love with. And like till this day, that when I'm sad, when I'm down, when I'm out, that's the music I go to. So that gave me a really good vibe. I'm going to actually do what you did. I'm going to search him and I'm going to find the good guy in him.
Yeah, man.
I want to thank you for coming, man. I really, really, really enjoyed the talk that we had. I'm really inspired by your music. So I cannot wait to hear the new stuff. And I really love the energy that you have about your own music. I really do believe that you should really believe in yourself. And I feel like you are that type of person. So keep that up and keep on spreading the inspiration into Canada, because it never hurts to do that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you remember how to close this show off with us?
I'm Grant Boyer, and I'm artistic.
That's it. That is right. And you did it right. And I'm not going to record it because it was that fucking authentic. So we're keeping it like that. Thank you for listening. Spill your hearts out, Toronto. Stay artistic. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Steven. Thanks, man.